Blog Talk Radio.
What? Because I've been looking for you. I'm saying, what was you thinking? But if she was alive, she'd have been lying sick and panicked.
Lily of the valley, a bride and more.
matter of life. Show him that he knew a little more than Jesus knew and throw him off faith. Ended up in a philosophical and theological debate. Pulled it and placed it on the dangerous curve between Jerusalem and Jericho. About a certain man who fell among thieves. You remember that a Levite. Finally, a man of another race came by. He got down with and administered first aid and helped the man in need. This was a good man because he had the capacity to predict the mind and power. We use our imagination a great deal to try to determine the representative. The times we say that we're going to a church and it's easy to grab and they have to get down, they wouldn't be late for their meeting. At other times, we say that was a religious law that one who was engaged in religious ceremonial was not to go to human life 24 hours before the ceremony. And every now and then we begin to wonder whether maybe anyone is going down to them. The Jericho to organize a Jericho Road Improvement Association. With the problem from the causal root rather than to get bogged down into effect. But I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me. It's possible that those men were afraid. I remember when Mrs. King and I were first in Jerusalem. When the car from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And as soon as we got on that road, I said to my wife, see what Jesus is at the setting of this truck. It's a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive to ambush. Jerusalem was about 1,200 miles, or rather 1,200 feet above sea level. And by the time 15 or 20 minutes later, you're about 2,200 feet. That's dangerous. In the days that Jesus it came to be known as the bloody path. So it's possible that the priest looked over that man on the ground and wondered if the robbers were still around. And he was acting like he had been robbed by the church in order to seize him over there. Some have a quick and easy seizure. So the first question the priest asked, the first question that the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? He refers, if I do not stop to help this man,
I realize and understand the discontent and feel that whites in America cannot be trusted. And I would be the first to say that I am still convinced that there are deal. And if white person is going to get the student generation who cherish democratic principles and justice above for peace throughout the days ahead. And so I refuse to demand that we are going to achieve our freedom. Because, however, much America strays away from the ideals of justice, the goal of America, abused and scorned though we may be. Our destiny is not the justice of America. The Pilgrim Fathers landed at Plymouth, we were here. Before Jefferson etched across the page of history, the Declaration of Independence. For the beautiful words of the Spartan for more than 2 centuries, our forebears labored here without wages. They made cotton chains, they built the homes of them, yet out of a bottomless vitality, they continue to grow and develop. That is the inexpressible truth is slavery couldn't stop us. The opposition that we now face, including
to upset this cultural home. is only one to be buried. As long as the mind is enslaved, the body can never be free. Psychological freedom affirms of physical slavery. No Lincolnian emancipation proclamation. No Johnsonian rights bill can totally bring freedom. The Negro only reaches down to the depth of his own being and finds the end of a 30 man's his own emancipation proclamation. The spirit choose self-esteem. The Negro must boldly throw a man of abnegation and say to himself, I am somebody. I am a person. I am a man with dignity and honor. I have written no history. I have a painful and exploited that history has been. Yes, I was a slave to I'm ashamed of the people who are so sinful to make me a slave. Yes. We must stand up and say, I'm black, and I'm black, and good. This self-affirmation is the black man's need to make a confession by white man's against him. I'm not into economic and political power. No one denies that the Negro is in dire need of this kind of legitimate power. Indeed, one of the great ones that the Negro confronts is white power. Of the South to the newer ghettos of the South, Negroes are confined to a life of voicelessness and powerlessness. Stripped of the right to make decisions concerning his life and destiny, he has been subject to the authoritarian and sometimes whimsical decisions of the white structure. The plantation and the ghetto were created by those who had power to confine those who had no problem of transforming the ghetto, therefore, is a problem of power. The confrontation between the forces of power demanding change and the forces of power dedicated to the preserving of the status quo. Now, nothing but the ability to achieve purpose. This is to bring about social, political, and economic change. Walter Ruther defined power. He said power is the ability of a labor union like UAW to make the most powerful corporation in the world say no. That's power. And all of us have our moral convictions and concerns, and so often we have problems with power. There is nothing wrong with power. Power is used correctly. You see, what happened is some of our philosophers got one of the great problems. Have usually been contrasted as opposites, or opposites. So love identified with a resignation of power, and power with a denial of love. It was this misinterpretation that rejects the Christian concept of love. It was this misinterpretation that induced Christian theologians to reject Nietzsche's philosophy of power, but the Christian idea of love. Now, we got to get this thing right. What is needed is a realization that power without love is effective, and that love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best. mind the demands of justice. And justice at best is love corrupting everything that stands against love. This is what we must see. We move on and mixed up in our country. This is not the past through love and moral reason devoid of power, and white Americans to seek their goals through power devoid of love and conscience. Leading a few streets today to advocate for Negroes the same destructive and conscienceless power that they have just been whites. It's precisely this collision of the moral power, powerless morality, constitutes the crisis of our time. We must progress, or rather the program, and I can't stay on this long, that will drive. Now, early in the century, this proposal would have been greeted with ridicule and denunciation as destructive initiative and responsibility. At that time, economic status was considered the measure of the individual's abilities and talents. In the thick of the absence of work, the indicator of industrious habits and moral fiber. We've come a long way from the human motivation to find operation by economic system. Now we realize that dislocations in the market operation of our economy and the presence of discrimination people in idleness and bind them in constant or frequent unemployment against their will. The poor are often dismissed today by being branded as inferior and incompetent. And it does not eliminate all poverty. The problem indicates that must be useful. We must create full employment or we must create income. People must be made consumers by one or another. We need to be concerned that the potential of the individual is not wasted. New forms of work that enhance social good will have to be devised for those for whom traditional jobs are not appropriate. Henry George anticipated this state of affairs when he wrote In Progress and Poverty, the fact is that the work which improves the condition of mankind, the work knowledge and increases power and enriches literature and elevates thought. It's not done to secure living. It's not the work of slaves, either by the task, or that of a taskmaster, or by animals. It's the work of men who somehow find a form of work that brings a security for its own. Work of this sort could be enormously increased. And we are likely to find seeing the elimination of poverty will themselves be affected if poverty is first abolished. The poor transform into purchasers. The poor great deal of housing decay. Negroes who have a double disability will have a greater effect on discrimination. Beyond these advantages, a host of positive biological changes and evidence from widespread economic security, the dignity of the individual will flourish when decisions concern him. He has the assurance that his income is stable and certain, and when he knows that he has the means to seek self-improvement, personal conflicts between husband and wife and children will diminish when the unjust measurement of human personal scale of powers is eliminated. Now our country can do this. John Kenneth Galbraith said, a guaranteed income could be done for about $20 billion a year. And I say to you today, our nation can spend $35 billion a year to fight unjust evil war in Vietnam and $20 billion for a man on the moon and spend billions of dollars to put God's children on their own two feet. We must reaffirm our commitment to nonviolence. I want to stress this. In the struggle for racial justice has been tragic. All the Negro riots. Yesterday I tried to analyze the riots and different causes of this problem. Today I want to give another sign. There's something painfully sad about a riot. One screaming youngsters and angry fighting and aimlessly against impossible odds. Them to receive a self-destruction, a kind of suicidal law. Occasionally Negroes contend that the 1955 represented effective civil rights action. But those who express the view always been the word that gains have been won as a result. At best, the riots have produced a little along by right government officials and a few workers who cool the children together. Something like in the prison while the people remain securely incarcerated behind bars. Nowhere have riots won any concrete improvement, such as have the organized protest demonstrations. And advocates of violence as to what acts would be effective, the answers are blatantly illogical. Guerrilla warfare. They fail to see that no internal revolution has ever succeeded in overthrowing government by violence unless the government has already lost the allegiance and effective control of its armed forces. Anyone in his right mind knows not the United States. In a violent racial situation, the power structure has the local police, national and the army corps, all of which are predominantly white. Furthermore, few, if any, violent revolutions have been successful unless the violent minority had the sympathy and support of the non-resisting majority. Captain have had two children and up in the hills, but he would have never overthrown the regime unless he had Cuban people. It is perfectly clear that on the part of American blacks, we find no sympathy and support from the white population, and very little from the majority of Negroes. There's no time for romantic illusions and empty philosophical debates about freedom. This is a time for action. It is a strategy for change. A tactical program that will bring the Negro to the mainstream of American life as quickly as possible. So far, this has only been offered by the nonviolent movement. Without recognizing this, we up with solutions that don't solve, answers that don't answer, and explanations that don't explain. I say to you today that I still stand by nonviolence. I'm still convinced that it is the most important weapon available to Negro in his struggle for justice in this country. And the other thing is, I'm concerned about the world. I'm concerned about justice. I'm concerned about brotherhood. I'm concerned about truth. And when one is concerned about that, he can never advocate violence. Through violence, you may murder. Through violence, you may murder a liar, but you can't establish truth. darkness can not put out darkness. Decided to stick with love, but I know that love is ultimately the only answer to find problems. I talk about it everywhere I go. I know it isn't popular to talk about it in some circles. I don't I'm talking about a strong, demanding love, and I have seen too much hate. I've seen too much on the faces of sheriffs in the South. I've seen hate on the faces of too many Klansmen and too many white sisters in the South. But I hate myself. Every time I see it, I know that it does something to their faces and their personality. And I say, love it. You have taken the high blood. I think you can find love. And the beautiful thing is that we are moving on when we do it. John was right on love. He who hates does not know God. He who loves unlocks the door to the meaning of ultimate reality. And so I say to you today, my friends, that you to speak with the tongues of men and angels. You may have love. It means nothing. Yes, you may have gifts of prophecy. You may have a scientific prediction. Understand the behavior of folly. You may break into the storehouse into insight. Yes, you may ascend to the heights of academic achievement so that you have all knowledge. You may institution to learn about the extent of your degrees, but if you have not absolutely, you may even give your goods to you may tower high in philanthropy, but if you have love, your charity, you may even give your body to be burned and die the death of a martyr in your spilled blood. It may be a symbol of honor of change and born. Some may praise you as one of history's greatest heroes. If you have not what I'm trying to get you to see this morning is that a man in his sacrifice, his generosity may feed his ego, and his piety may feed him, and martyrdom becomes spiritual pride. We must honestly face the fact that the movement must itself the question of restructuring the whole of American society. Before people here, one day we must ask the question, why are there 40 million poor people in America? Raising the question about the economic system, about distribution of wealth. You can question the capitalistic economy. And I'm simply saying that more and more we are called upon to help the discouraged beggars in the marketplace. One day we must understand that edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. Means that burdens must be raised. You see, my friends, when you deal with this, you begin to ask the question, who owns the oil? You begin to ask the question, who owns the time today. I'm not talking about communism. My inspiration didn't come from Karl Marx. My inspiration didn't come from Engels. My inspiration didn't come from Trotsky. My inspiration didn't come from Lenin. Yes, I read Communist Manifesto a long time ago. So maybe Marx didn't follow Hegel enough. He took his diet, but he got the divide of spiritualism, and he wrote by the name of Feuerbach and took his materialism and made it into a system that he called materialism. What I'm saying to you this morning, communism forgets that is individual. Capitalism forgets that neither in the thesis of communism nor in the thesis of capitalism, but in the house of that combines the truths of both. Now, when I say the whole society, it means ultimately coming to see the problem of racism, the problem of economic exploitation, and the problem of war, all tied together. These are the simple evils that are interrelated. One day, I'm not a general. Know what he can do? Say, Jesus didn't look down on the kind of isolated approach of what you shouldn't do. Jesus didn't say, he didn't say, Nicodemus, now you must not commit adultery. He said, Nicodemus, you must stop cheating. That. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you must stop drinking. You're doing altogether different because Jesus has something different. If a man will lie, he will steal. If a man will steal, he will kill. So instead of just getting bogged down on one thing, Jesus looked at it and said, Nicodemus, don't be born again. A nation that was enslaved will signify them and make them things. Therefore, they will exploit these people. We'll have to have foreign investments and everything else, and it'll have to use its military might to protect them. Say, America, you must be born again. So I conclude by saying today that we have a task, and let us go out to the divine dispensation. Let us be satisfied. An anemia of deeds. Let us decide until the tragic walls that separate the outer city of wealth and comfort from the inner city of poverty and death be crushed by that of justice. Let us be dissatisfied until let us be dissatisfied until slavery passes into the earth of history. Every family will live in a decent sanitary home. home, let us be dissatisfied. Will the darkest of segregated schools be transformed into life, into not seeing important, but as an opportunity to participate in the beauty of diversity. Let us be dissatisfied. Men, women, whoever doctorate will be judged on the basis of the content of that character, not on the basis of the color of that skin. Let us be dissatisfied until every state be our governor who will do justly, who will love mercy, and who will punish God. Be satisfied until from every city hall justice will roll down like
march in Washington, where he said, I
King's moral watershed over Vietnam. 1966, was my is war not win, and blacks were the losers. Measured as a percentage of adult males, blacks were dying
in order to atone for our sin, and ever we shall be initiated in bringing all this.
Everybody attacked him.
What was
after the Riverside speech? I don't think we talked to him anymore.
On that day, 4th, 1967, as King spoke at Riverside, 1 year to live. King was leading an anti-war protest in Massachusetts, a thousand miles away in the north. Small-time named James Earl Ray was escaped from prison, and so, of course, to bring both men to Memphis on April 4th,
the first president of the United States. Representing George Washington, but in looking at the picture he was made, he was completely lost. He That's the most striking thing about the story of Rip Van Winkle is not merely that he took a step he did, but he slept the revolution. A revolution was taking place that at points would change the course of history. Nothing about he was just yes, he had one of the great liabilities of life. Of social change, and yet they fail to develop the new mental responses. They end up sleeping.
That we may